The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but wonder, does the Bible really say God gives countries the leaders they deserve? Yes, my friend, God does give countries the leaders they deserve. God is sovereign, and he sometimes allows human nature to take its course in order for us to witness firsthand the results of unchecked human evil. Now, our own role is obvious in an election where we actually choose our leaders at the ballot box. But even in the days of ancient kings, God in his sovereignty decided who would sit on a throne, and the attitude of the populace had a lot to do with his decision. If people turned away from God, he would allow evil rulers to turn them even further from himself. And eventually, he would also allow evil conquerors to judge both the rulers and the gullible people who put them in power. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 3. At a time when ancient Israel was turning from God, Isaiah the prophet warns them of what is going to happen. See now the Lord Almighty, is about to take from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, all supplies of food and all supplies of water, the hero and the warrior, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the man of rank, the counselor, skilled craftsman, and clever enchanter. I will make mere youths their officials. Children will rule over them. Of course, nobody understands the quality of fine leadership more than the people of San Francisco. Democrat politicians in San Francisco have not done much to remove human excrement and drug needles from their streets, but fear not, they are at least working hard to sanitize something. Language. Yeah, language. What could be more important than that? Sanitizing language that describes criminals in less severe terms. For the sake of compassion. For the sake of sensitivity. Observe. A felon is now to be called a formerly incarcerated person. A juvenile delinquent is now called young person with justice involvement. And you'll love addict. An addict is a person with a history of substance abuse. Now, needless to say, such creativity inspired me to come up with one of my own. Democratic politicians are now called scarecrows, as explained in The Wizard of Oz. Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking. And now, here's a man who also does a lot of talking, but in his case, he at least activates his brain before activating his mouth. Say hello to Pastor Jim Barrier.
Well, I hope you're right about that last statement, Bob.
I have faith in you, Jim.
I do. And, you know, I agree completely with your opening monologue there. It's amazing to me how people will criticize the government but do very little to be proactive in making change happen on a positive level. Now, I have taught for years what you said, that basically we do get the government we deserve, and that's a tough pill to swallow.
Especially when you look at how horrible the government is.
Well, yeah, and whichever branch you want to point to. But I have said this, I believe I've said it on your show, and I've said it several times when I've been invited to speak, which isn't very often, but when I get invited to places, and I have said this, the scripture says that judgment begins in the house of God. And we have to keep that in clear understanding that if God wants to straighten us out as a people, and we talked last month about whether America is God's nation or and all of that. So, but any nation that God is going to deal with, he's going to deal with God's people in that nation. And I think for all of the people that want to bring down fire and brimstone, I'd say be very, very careful what you ask for, because we're the ones that are the watchmen on the wall, and we need to be, we're not only responsible, but we need to be doing our part to make things better. And whether that is strictly in prayer and intercession or being political activists and doing what we can to mobilize people and get out the vote or go to town hall meetings, be a voice. And I have great concern for the church at large in America that for the most part, people just kind of complain, but I don't know what they're doing to bring about change. And I think if we, and I know you've been very active most of your life, and certainly your life as a Christian, to evangelize, to reason with people, try to give them a case for why they should believe in Jesus. And even your opening statement every week, you know, so you'd like to be a Christian, you'd like to believe in God, but, and I've read your book of that title. You've done a lot on that level, but it isn't just for the professionals or the clergy. Everyone who names the name of Christ, I think, ought to be trying to do something, seek God's guidance and do what he leads you. But we all need to be doing more than just complaining.
And sadly, it's not just a matter of sin and repentance. Christians are not very good at using their heads. I meet so many Christians that say, well, how could I, with a good conscience, vote for Donald Trump? And I'm going, okay, so he has a personality that's rough around the edges. Look at his policies and look at the alternative. Look at the people that you're going to bring into power if he doesn't get another fortune. If we don't win this next election, I do not believe our country will remain a republic anymore. It'll be called a republic. I don't believe we'll really be a republic. When I listen to the things that the Democrats want to do, and if they were to really do them, we would no longer be the United States of America. The First and Second Amendments would both go. They'd be the first to go.
Yeah, and I agree. And after all, China is the People's Republic of China.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a good example of how you could call...
Yeah, if anyone believes that...
Well, the Soviet Union was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. So,
And on and on.
It won't be worth the paper it's printed on. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think you're right. Now, I have much more hope this time around than I did 4 years ago. I mailed it in. I thought, well, we're going to have a coronation of the Queen, and it didn't happen. You know who I'm talking about. And frankly,
would that be Queen Hillary?
Yeah, that would
the
be
first.
The one. Frankly, when I voted last time, it was as much a vote to not allow Hillary into office than it was because I was a big Trump lover.
I agree. I was rolling the dice for Trump and holding my nose and. I just could not vote for Hillary, but Trump has kept more campaign promises than most of the pure conservatives.
Yeah, I think we've all been rather pleasantly surprised at many turns, the things that he's done domestically and abroad, which is something, you know, usually presidents, they have a strong suit, and either they're good at the economy or they're good at dealing with foreign affairs, but rarely do you get a guy like this. He's just doing stuff on both sides, and that with very little support from anybody, even in his own party. So I am hopeful, and the reason I'm hopeful is because I watch these clowns in the debates,
Well, he could have any one of them for lunch. My fear is that perhaps we have not seen the real nominee, that it may not be any of these clowns, that there may be a dark horse at the last moment that's a would maybe not less sane, but sounding more sane.
Yeah. I think you're onto something there, because the people, frankly, that are out there devouring each other at the debates are just making their party weaker and weaker and weaker. And the folks that the Democrats, and I don't hate Democrats just for being Democrats, let's get that straight, but the people they've allowed to be their face, their voice, to get all the attention are laughable. And so all of that, I think right now,
the entire party is being run by a 30-year-old or not even yet 30-year-old congresswoman. Yeah. And they're just eating out of her hand.
Yeah, but I think that will be destructive to their party.
I hope so. If we don't have judges that do a lot of redistricting, if we don't have too many illegal people voting.
There's all of that.
And if they come into power again, you can kiss all of that hello at our next election. We will not have real citizens voting anymore.
Well, let me refer back to your opening statements, and that is, there is divine providence involved. Now, I believe very much, as you do, that we have a free will, and God allows us to stupidly bumble around and make bad decisions. In the human race, that's pretty much been the track record. But he does say that the hearts of the kings are in his hand, and I think he does have something to do. I think it's very possible that there was divine providence involved in the last election.
Well, and when you look at all the things stacked up against Trump and all the handicaps, including the fact that he speaks without a filter and is sometimes his own worst enemy, it does look like the hand of God has been behind him.
I think it's possible, and I'm very willing to consider that as part of what has happened. But I think we are far from being the people we need to be as a nation. And then let me get back to specifically, because I'm a pastor and I've spent over 50 years very, very deeply involved in church life. The people of God, and I'll even just narrow it down to those evangelical Christians, not the nominal, not the mainline stuff, but people that are all about, you know, Jesus is Lord, and you need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. The folks that espouse those things, we're not doing our job very well, I think.
We're not. There's far too much compromise right now in the evangelical church. And sometimes they get their guilt buttons pushed so easily. Oh, we need to be compassionate. And this culture has conflated the word compassion with acceptance. That's part of our problem. Hold on, my friend. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. WisdomWorks Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to our program. You're listening to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined with my good friend, Pastor Jim Barrier.
You know, every time we do that intro, I keep waiting for Elvis's voice, and it never shows up because you've done a fine, masterful job of editing there in the sound room. So I'd like to segue a little bit, if we can, here. We're talking about God's role in holding up or taking down governments, and how involved has he been in the political process here. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some current events, natural disasters. We just had another hurricane sweep past
which
our,
Donald Trump single-handedly created himself.
Well, yeah, it was certainly his fault. Well, you know, of course. But there is this... the school of thinking, people, every time sometimes there's a natural disaster, some sort of, whether it's an earthquake or hurricanes or whatever, there are people who say, well, God is, that's God's judgment. And so I'm, you know, I wonder, so what, did the Bahamas do something really, really bad? Because that, they got wiped out.
I remember when somebody, during one of the hurricanes and floods that you all notice how, like, I'm talking like a Texan, y'all.
Yeah, I love that.
Had in Texas a few years ago, some twit, a journalist went out and said that maybe this was like when God was punishing the people of Noah's day because we have so many Nazis in Texas. My brother had the best response. He said, hey, people from Texas served in the U.S. military and liberated France from the Nazis. That's right. It was a French periodical that had come out with this.
Yeah.
And I was just going, bravo.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. It was just absurd, that whole point of view. But I'd like to go on record and say that when these natural disasters happen like this, as a rule, I don't think it's God judging a nation because of the fact that it can hit several nations. And the truth is there is a zone where hurricanes come this time of year, and they've been happening for centuries. Now, they started keeping records of these things in the 1800s, but they've had Category 4 and 5 hurricanes for the longest time, long before fossil fuel-driven internal combustion engines, by the way.
Well, not to mention that we had this thing called the Ice Age, supposedly, melted without combustion engines, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I just like to say, I do not believe that Hurricane Dorian was God's judgment on anybody, because if it was, he's a bad shot, because he pretty much missed our coast and hit the poor innocent Bahamas down there. Now there's also the other side, and people were saying, well, there was a lot of prayer going up, and the prayer turned that thing and made it go back out to sea. Well, they should have prayed earlier so the Bahamas didn't get wiped out.
Well, yeah.
So,
and the Bible takes a balanced view of this, because certainly there are examples in Scripture of God using those kinds of natural disasters to bring judgment.
Absolutely.
We also have Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, when talking about his second coming. He says, you will see earthquakes in various places, but do not be alarmed. And he's mentioning them as anti-signs, not as signs. He's essentially saying sometimes an earthquake will just happen. It doesn't always mean something. So sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Unless somebody hears from God and gets a genuine, bona fide, verified prophecy, we need to just say, look, we don't always know why these things are happening.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. Now, and I do know When I read that, it says diverse places. I think that really means places you don't expect them. Everybody expects the big one to hit California, and I hope that if and when that happens that you're not there. But I moved away a long time ago.
I don't want to see Lutherville and Otisburg develop here on the left coast.
Otisburg? I love that line. But the Pacific Rim, you know, all of the West Coast in our country, and then Japan and over in Asia, those are zones where there are earthquakes frequently. And but I think that the prophetic things that Jesus talked about, I think there are going to be earthquakes showing up where they are least expected. And that's how I read it. But all of that to say, I think that we need to be, rather than getting judgmental or pious or self-righteous about all of this, I think there's a place for us to say, you know, how can I help? Rather than sit back and critique and complain or speculate. And that's the question I want to ask. How can Christians get involved? I want to hear your thoughts on that. I have a few of my own, obviously, it's a setup. But rather than just talk about it and use it to, you know, to tweet things, what can we as the people of God actually do to help when disasters like this happen?
Well, we can send worker volunteers. We can send money. We can do it without the strings attached that we must preach the gospel to them or we're not going to help them. And that would be I know that's very obvious, but that would be a start.
I like that. I like, you know, and you know me well, I'm all about preaching the gospel. I'm a pastor, for goodness sake. But I think there is a time to go and do relief work. You know that I go at least once a year, I go on a trip with a group. We distribute wheelchairs.
That's right,
and
in Mexico.
The purpose of that is not to have a crusade and get invitations and decisions. It's to go help people who need a wheelchair.
Exactly.
I remember when the big one hit, it must have been Katrina that was down in New Orleans. Remember that one?
Well, that was the one that George Bush started. This was Donald
fault.
Trump. That one was George Bush's fault.
But there was a major publication put an article in the aftermath of that, and it listed the groups that brought relief and came and helped, and about 80% of them were faith-based organizations.
Yeah, that is exactly right, and they're usually much more efficient than the government organizations.
Well, FEMA really, really messed that up on that particular one. But and of course, that was not they put it at the feet of George Bush and blamed him. It was
State government didn't want to work with the federal government too.
Yeah,
so that was
exactly. And the mayor down there, who has gotten into trouble since then, was no help. But the point of it is we as Christians can do something. You can send your dollars if you have the time. You can go someplace and help. Just go help do cleanup. Go, be there. Do something. And if you can't, if you don't have the funds, the resources to help financially, if you don't have the time or it's too far away, then absolutely, your prayers do mean something.
Okay, we'll hold that thought. We will be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, License number 480539, WNS Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Sometimes a hurricane is just a hurricane. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
I like that, Dr. Freud. So I made this statement. I wrote a little post. You might have seen it on Facebook. I also sent it out on our church prayer bulletin. We send a thing out routinely through email and put it on our church page. But I said that we need to be spiritual first responders. And so when there is a disaster, we need to do what we can, whatever is within our means. And so whether that's helping physically or whether that's helping by prayer or whether it's giving someone a hug or just saying, look, I'm here for you if you need anything. There's so many things that we as the people of God can do. When it's a big disaster like hurricanes or earthquakes, or when it's just a local thing and you have a family that's gone through trouble, and so I think we need to be there on all levels, whatever is possible for us. Now I'd like to talk about another issue, because we've had it just seems like every week, I know it's an exaggeration, but it almost seems like every week there's a mass shooting somewhere.
No, it has just about been that.
And that's defined by four people or more being shot. That's the drawing line. In case you didn't know, that determines whether it's a mass shooting.
And yet a lot of them have really been mass, as in 20, 30.
There have
50,
been some big ones. Yeah. But it's the same. It's a similar type of thing. What do? We feel so helpless. And where do we go? What do we as Christians, what should be our response? Because immediately, both sides of the aisle want to politicize things like this, and you know, you got the people that want to say that's why we need to outlaw guns, and that's why there needs to be more control. And you got some of these candidates running for the Democratic ticket are saying, "I'll come and take your guns."
Now, let me ask you a question. I realize that a lot of times both sides politicize things.
Yeah.
When it comes to the gun violence, I'm seeing a lot of the Democrats politicizing it. What would be an example of the Republicans politicizing? Well, I have to say, I don't think I'm seeing that as much.
Well, maybe it's a little more subtle, but I've seen people saying, this is why we need to allow people to have concealed carry or open carry, because they can stop a crime.
Well,
and
see, now
that happens.
I think they're absolutely right, although I would agree with you that we don't need to hear that the day of the tragedy. All we need to do then is just pray for the victims.
Yeah, and that's what my concern is, that immediately we want to jump on a thing and start the debate. And it's tragic enough that people's lives are lost, that families have lost loved ones because of a senseless act of violence. But then to just callously jump into a debate, I would rather, when that comes up, and if somebody, and I have relatives and friends that are extremely to the left on these things, and they immediately they jump on a thing, and rather than get into the debate about the Second Amendment, which I think you and I would not have any disagreement about where we stand on that, to say, you know what about these people? Would you stop for a minute and pray with me? Would you pray with me for the families that have lost?
Well, there are even people ridiculing that. There are a lot of leftists saying they're fed up with hearing about prayers. Like, we don't want your prayers.
That's what triggered this whole thing. And I loved it, because on the website for The Answer, KCBQ, there was a thing today, and it said thoughts and prayers. you know, going out to these people, and that we use that terminology, and if that's heartfelt, it's a great thing. We need to be thinking about them and grieving in our hearts, and we need to be praying for people who are victims. But I've heard celebrity types, Hollywood types, I've heard politicians say, your thoughts and prayers are meaningless, they're worthless. And that just seems so cold-hearted.
Yeah, and their empty platitudes and exploiting a situation are pretty worthless, if you ask me.
Yeah. But I say, no, your thoughts and prayers are not meaningless or worthless.
No, in fact, it's one of the few things we can really do about it, because the truth is, no matter what kind of legislation we pass, if some criminal wants to get a gun and shoot somebody, they're going to find a way to get a gun and shoot somebody.
You know, in preparing for this show, I did a little bit of research. It's hard to do research because the different sources, it depends on who's funding them and what's behind them.
Especially when you get on Google. Did you know I could look up something on Google and type in Fox News, and it'll still give me CNN and the New York Times, probably about 10 places above Fox News.
I quit using Google a long time ago.
What are you doing, Yahoo now? Or
no, I do DuckDuckGo.
I don't think I've ever used that one. Yahoo at times when I get frustrated, but they're pretty similar to Google too. So.
Well, I get less bias from what I've seen so far, but I've been using them for a while. But here's the thing: I looked at different studies and websites and research, and at the very most, gun crimes are committed by the owner of a legal gun. So this is a person who purchased a gun legally, and they were the owner, and they're the ones who were the perpetrator in the crime. The highest number I saw was 20%. Most of them were 1% or 6%. And so we're back to that thing about if guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. And if you make guns illegal, that's not going to stop a criminal.
No, in fact, in a lot of the recent shootings, they found that a lot of them... there already were laws in place that people just were not paying attention to. And there was bad communication on the part of the authorities. There were red flags they weren't catching.
Yeah. So to me, it's almost a moot point when people bring that whole thing up. I think, you know what? This is silly to even argue about this. But as you know, often when you get into these discussions with people, there's a point where the conversation immediately turns into an emotional exchange rather than a rational exchange. And it's at that point that you're not going to accomplish much in trying to exchange ideas, because for both sides, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up.
Exactly.
But at any rate, I think it's being politicized and it's being used primarily by the left. This is the question I want to ask you now, because we're just rolling right along here. If somehow a candidate got in, or if the Democrats took over the Senate and the House, which I don't think will happen, but if somehow there was legislation passed and they said we're going to start confiscating guns, and they're already doing some of that up in the Northwest where they don't even have...
Well, that's exactly what they want to do. They talk about the semi-automatics and stuff, but the truth is they want to abolish the Second Amendment. It's kind of like with the border. It used to be, I believe in borders. I just think there's better ways than the wall. Now they're all openly claiming that they want a borderless society. And I think we're going to eventually hear them admit that with the gun control, too.
And so this is my question. If it gets to that, will it go to the Supreme Court? And how do you think that the Supreme Court of the United States will respond in a case about someone's Second Amendment rights being violated?
It'll depend on which side of the bed Chief Justice Roberts gets out of. He's made himself the new Kennedy swing voter, and he's a big disappointment. I don't know. I mean, we've seen some decent rulings recently. We've seen some bad ones recently. I just don't know. I'm never comforted knowing that things are going to the Supreme Court. Granted, I feel a little better about the Supreme Court than the Ninth District Court of Appeals, but it's not always a big difference.
Gosh. You know, that's like the greatest understatement
you've
made yet.
More great understatements when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church.
I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined by Jim Barrier.
Well, since you just did a Star Wars reference with Darth Vader, I'm going to say this.
Or is it motion is the future?
Always in motion, the future. I caught that. Yeah.
Always in motion is the future.
You have to learn how to speak Yodian. Yeah,
that's Yoda. And I said that because what I'm about to say is, I know it's not good to speculate or assume, but let's just say if the president gets reelected, then we've got four more years, and the odds makers in Vegas are not giving Ruth much of a shot at living another 5 years or being able to serve in her role, which means there will be a vacation in the court. And so even if they stonewall Trump's nomination, which there's every reason to believe that they will, now you've got eight justices, and so one of the liberal voices has been removed until there's a replacement.
Which would be wonderful, but I'm wondering, where are they going to find somebody who even wants that nomination after what they did to Kavanaugh? They will make what happened to Kavanaugh look like Candyland by comparison.
Yeah, well, he did it knowing what they did to Clarence Thomas. And so there are, I hope and believe, men and women of integrity out there who are qualified that will say, you know what, for the good of the country, I'll go ahead and suffer the process in hopes that we can do what's best for this country. So that would be, that's my Pollyanna, which is best I can come up with.
Yeah, I agree. And I hope the Mitt Romneys of the Senate don't feel they need to make a name for themselves to be contrary.
Well, of course.
I love when he says, somebody has to be the standard bearer. He wouldn't know a standard if it bit him on the butt.
I know. But here's the thing. If Mr. Trump gets reelected, there's every reason to believe that he's not going to give in to public opinion or political correctness. He's going to keep making decisions the way he has for 3 years.
He's his own man. He thinks out loud, and it seems like when he thinks out loud, he eventually figures out that the political correctness is a bunch of gobbledygook.
Yeah, well, I think he's the first person I heard use the term fake news, and now it's become a colloquialism.
Oh, I know. And it's so true. I mean,
it is. But I think, should there be a vacancy made on the Supreme Court, that he will continue with the pattern and he will try to find somebody who will understand the role of a justice, which isn't to legislate from the bench, but to interpret the law according to the Constitution. And he will try to find someone of that persuasion. And he's done that so far with his nominations. And I think he is who he is. And I don't see him having some radical change in his policy or his decision-making process. So Having prefaced that with my very weak Yoda impersonation, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think there's an awful lot of potential for another change in the Supreme Court.
There is, and somewhere along the way, we need to make the, it's not in the Constitution, but there is a law about how many Supreme Court justices we're allowed to have, because the Democrats want to overturn that law and just start filling the court so that they can legislate from the bench, because that's what they see as the purpose of the court, to get around the will of the people and do things their way. And yeah, they've been very successful.
If they do that, if Trump gets reelected and they got four more years of a conservative president, how dumb is that to say, well, let's stack the bench with more
they would wait till they got back into power to try to.
Yeah, well, let's
do
hope that
did.
Doesn't happen. And you know, now, and this is another thing that probably will not happen. But I think there should be term limits even at that level. I don't see this being a justice for life.
I agree. They should not have that much power. And again, I know I say this a lot. They were never meant to have the amount of power that they even have. Even that word interpret is not found in the Constitution. They're the highest court in the land. They're there to enforce the Constitution. If there is a new law, yes, they can check it to see if it violates the Constitution. But that's by reading the Constitution, not by reading in between the lines like the rest of us don't understand what it actually says.
Yeah, and so that is one of the things, the problem of the evolution of our government. As in the same thing you could say about the Senate and the Congress, those were not supposed to be lifetime jobs. Those were guys that were regular people who had regular jobs and regular lives, and they would give a few years of their life to come and serve their country. Now it's become, you know,
a career.
It's a career, and you instantly get retirement, and you get benefits that average Americans do not get. And so what
if it was supposed to be a slightly longer jury duty, that's all it was supposed to be, then they were supposed to go back to their regular jobs.
And human nature being what is, you almost can't blame a guy or a man or a woman who gets that job and thinks, gee, now I need to keep this job. This is, you know, I found the goose that lays the golden egg, and I'm not giving this up, so I'm going to do whatever I have to do to keep my job. And there was, you know, I know you're a film buff. There was a movie with Michael Douglas, The American President, and there's a line in there where he says, I was so busy trying to keep my job, I forgot to do my job.
Oh, that's a good line. Good line.
Yeah,
I did not see that movie, but I remember when it came out.
Yeah, and he's a liberal president.
All heroic political figures in the movies are liberals and pro-choice and blah, blah,
blah. But that was a great line.
Yes, it is a good line.
He is. So I'm hopeful going into this next year. Meanwhile, keep the popcorn out so you can watch these debates. You know, there was, I don't know if you saw this goofy thing, some person in Sweden was advocating cannibalism as a means of controlling the population and bringing all of the ecological chaos under control.
There's nothing they won't do when people stop believing in God. They start believing in anything.
Well, someone posted that, and I said, you know, well, the Democrats are apparently already using that method in their debate.
There's a kind of cannibalism going on right now, yeah.
So
it's painful for me to watch them. I do understand the value of hearing the other side, but when I know what they're going to say before they say it, and when they talk like such blithering idiots, I just want to get out the remote and speed through it.
Well, you need, remember back in the 70s, someone marketed a foam brick that you could throw your TV.
My dad would have liked one of those. My poor dad, he should have had his own radio talk show. Instead, the rest of us had to be his audience and listen to him yell at the TV when the news was on. He would have done perfect over the air.
That was the way it was in the days before social media.
Yeah, so, exactly.
But I'm hopeful because I see this clown factory just devouring themselves, and it's laughable. But I also hearken to what you have said now for a couple of months, that it's very possible that someone could come out of the woodwork at the end, and we'll only have to
And if it's Michelle Obama, she will be invulnerable because Trump can get away with criticizing a lot of people. He won't get away with criticizing her. Even the Republicans will turn on him. Of course, they've done that already, and he has survived. We'll be right back. buying a home, selling a home? It goes without saying that you need somebody experienced and skilled, but you also need a realtor you can trust, a man who will look out for your interests as if they were his own. This is Bob Siegel, here to steer you the right direction with just two words, Fred Valduti. Fred works with Realty Executives All Area, a company that has sold thousands of homes locally since 1994. Putting your home up for sale or selling a home can be stressful, filled with decisions you never anticipated. So put your mind at ease and call Fred Valduti. He sold my home for me at top price. Every step along the way, I benefited from his wisdom and a very generous usage of his time. By the way, Fred Valduti received the Executive of the Year Award for 2014. What? You say that was a couple of years ago? Listen, wise guy, do you want to mark the calendar or do you want somebody to sell your home for you? Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Valduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredvalduti.com.
Hi, I'm Dana Wright, here to talk about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... The title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Jim, we're down to the last segment of the program. Always great having you on. Always the time goes by far too fast.
It flies by. And by the way, their little intro there was a cover version of American Woman by the Guess Who featuring the great Randy Bachman on guitar. But that was not the original. You'll have to trust me on that.
Well, I bow to you. You are our music buff, that's for sure.
And interestingly, that song was not pro-America at all. But you have to listen to the words to it on another show. kind of wrap up here. We've just been all over the map, which is typical when you and I get together on the air. But I'd just like to maybe reiterate, as believers in Christ, we need to demonstrate Christ-likeness in our responses to these social issues. When there is tragedy, we should respond with compassion and a helping hand. And even if it's just to pray or console somebody, what can I do? How can I be there for somebody? The Bible speaks so much about compassion. In every book of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, it's very, very important in God's economy that we show compassion to those who are hurting. So let's be mindful of that and not be so quick to judge or to get into a political debate with anybody. If someone wants to bait you into something like that, just say, you know what, right now, I think it would be good for us to pray for people, to go and show mercy and compassion. And even do this, be bold enough. If someone jumps into a political reaction to some sort of issue that has affected people's lives on a very tangible, very real level, say, you know, would you stop with me for a minute right now, and would you pray with me for those folks? See what kind of reaction happens. And even if they are just silent while you pray, then pray. As you know, the heart of God would be expressed, and pray for healing and for mercy and for rescue and for comfort where people have had loss. I think it's very important that we rally, and I'm going to use the term again. I think I coined this term, but spiritual first responders. We need to be there to step up for people. And then on a proactive level, we need to pray for our government. We need to pray that God will in fact give us men and women of integrity and conscience and honesty and good moral standards. They don't have to be of the same religious persuasion as you. But,
and we need to not underestimate the power of prayer, because
absolutely
we're told in James that the prayer of even one righteous man avails so much. And when the Bible says righteous, they don't mean sinless. They mean somebody letting God work in their lives and struggling to become more than
they
can be.
We need to do that. And there are so many books of people through history who have prayed, and they have made a difference. And don't sell yourself short. If you're listening out there, if you believe in the Lord God and you call yourself a Christian, your prayers are powerful and they matter and God listens to you. And so pray for our leaders. We're commanded to do that. I took a lot of heat from people. I said, I used to have to pray for the president before this one. And I've had to pray for every one of them because we're commanded to do that. So I pray for them even if I'm not in agreement with them. We should do that. Pray for the leaders of our nation. Pray for your local leaders. Goodness, you folks in California need to be praying for your leaders. And even in San Diego, pray for the mayor. Pray for the city council.
Pray lest we live under Otisburg and Casa del Ex.
Otisburg?
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to say was, it is easy as Christians to get drawn into just praying for ourselves, because the Bible does say we can make requests and petition God, and He loves us. So in my daily prayers, I do pray for myself, but I make sure I do a time of intercession and praying for the nation and praying for the salvation of lost souls. That's really an important thing to incorporate in your everyday prayers.
I agree. I believe we need to do that. And even if you need to have some sort of self-serving basis, which seems contradictory to the spirit of prayer and being a Christian, I pray now because I'm concerned about what kind of a world my grandkids are going to grow up in. I won't be here.
Yes, it is. I mean, it is to our benefit. I mean, we're told in Timothy to pray for kings in high places that we may live a peaceful life.
That's right.
And so there's nothing wrong with wanting a peace. We should do a whole show on this sometime, and I know we've talked about
that's
it a little bit
idea.
Before, that there are a lot of Christians today that I've been hearing this for years, persecution is good for the church. Well, then why did Paul tell us to pray for kings so that we can lead a peaceful life? He said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. In other words, living in a peaceful, free society is more conducive to the spreading of the gospel. Yes, God can bless us even during times of persecution, but for Pete's sakes, we're not trying to make the persecution happen. We would rather live a free life.
Talk to your brothers and sisters in Christ in North Korea about that. Yes.
Wonderful persecution is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we should do a show on that. We'll stay in touch about that.
Yeah, let's do that. I know we've talked about it here and there. I'm not sure if we've ever done an entire show on it.
No, I don't think we have. And, you know, typically we have a smorgasbord of issues that we cover from month to month. And I always love it.
Well, that's because we're on the radio, and so we're entitled to take tangents. But I think you stayed on track with a lot of your stuff today, Jim.
We did. We did good tonight.
Okay, my friend, we will have you on again next month. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show, and I will see you next week.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.